Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
That's one more
dollar. So that's $2 for me. I get on there. We at 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got some great food and drink specials here at Acme. Got a great crowd right before LSU plays South Alabama. Herb and I will be on till 4:45, and then we throw it to the LSU radio network. And then at 6:45 kickoff time, you can hear Jacob Hester and Chris Blair give you everything going on the field between the LSU Tigers and South Alabama. Kind of recapping things already. Notre Dame 21-7 over Louisville. So, man, they remember what happened last year.
That's right.
And so, man, the Irish have jumped all over Louisville 21-7 in a stunner in Oxville, Kentucky. 20-17 over Ole Miss. Ole Miss missed a field goal late that could have tied it and brought it into overtime. Missed the field goal, first loss of the season for Ole Miss. And so thoughts that maybe these two teams before the season maybe could be undefeated when they played. LSU's went right out the window in week one. Ole Miss, it happened. And you got to give Kentucky credit. They outplayed them in this football game. And, man, a huge, huge win for the Wildcat program. Also, two congratulations to John Sumrall. Tulane Greenway 45-10 over South Florida. And we talked about this in the first hour. They were, man, toe-to-toe with LSU. With Alabama at the end of three quarters. And then Alabama scored 28 points fourth quarter to pull away. South Alabama, I think they have more seniors on that team than any other team in Division One college football.
Wow.
And so give it to them. In the first half, it was a dominating performance by the Tulane offense. Basically, every time they had the football, they scored. And their defense really held up well. Herb, we talked a little bit about this in this game, but didn't talk about the fact that Major Applewhite, who grew up in Baton Rouge, has an opportunity now to coach in Tiger Stadium. With his South Alabama team that has been explosive on the offensive side, the football.
Yep.
I don't know that they have the weapons on defense to slow down LSU the way they have moved the football all season long. But, man, they showed they can put some points up on the board. And LSU's, it's almost been the one consistent thing on defense. Man, they've given up one big chunk play after another every game.
Whether it's a run or pass.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But lately it's been more to pass. I think their run defense has gotten a bit better over the past few weeks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because South Carolina ran the ball really well on them with some chunk plays.
They hit some chunk plays in there. But I think with that was almost missed tackles. You had a guy in position.
Yeah,
you got to make the play.
A couple times.
Come on. You got to make that play.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, look, with Major Applewhite coming back to, you know, Baton Rouge, being a hometown guy, it's always exciting for people who go away and they come back, especially when they never.
And it almost happened when you almost went to Mississippi State. It would have been special.
That's right.
If you were the quarterback at Mississippi State, no matter you weren't from Baton Rouge, you would Old Perry Walker.
Yeah,
But still, it didn't make any difference. Man, you grew up, you watching LSU.
Always.
People say, y'all make too big of a thing of it. No. And if you're from Louisiana,
you want to go to LSU.
Come on.
That's the flagship school, and that's where you want to go. And he had the talent to go there, too, is the thing about it. They didn't offer him or give him the opportunity to go there. But he did go to another premier school in Texas. He played very well there. After his football playing days, you know, he ended up becoming a coach pretty much any and everywhere where he could go. But one of the places and stops that he went that I thought he was very impressive at was the University of Houston. He did a very good job there when he was the OC there, and he took over as a head coach, and he did okay. And everywhere he goes, I'm going to say this, they're going to be disciplined. They're going to play fast, passionate football. They're going to throw the ball all over the park. They're going to run the ball all over the park. They're going to be very versatile. And I think his values and his I guess his players or types of players he looked for are really athletic players that can move. No one that can stay still. Now, they're not going to come in and wow you with their size or anything like that, but they're going to be athletic and they're going to be really passionate about what they're doing and they're going to fly around the ball field. But coming back to LSU and Tiger Stadium for him is a dream come true, especially as a head coach of any football team. And I think right now he's got a little football team that I think that can really take LSU to kind of do what USF did to Alabama, was bring them through the third quarter and then hope that Alabama, LSU can you know, pull it off in the fourth. Now, this goes back to what I was saying when Jeff was on as well. We want to see LSU put four quarters together. Well, if they put the first quarter and the fourth quarter together and they end up winning by 30 points, does it matter if they put all four together and win by 30 points? Does it really matter at the end of the day? Right. So for me, it's just the consistency. I think right now they're averaging 32 points a game. If they can consistently average 32 points a game, I think we'll be fine.
One of the things, too, over the last couple of weeks, and we talked about Aaron Anderson's emergence in this offense, but also, too, Caden Durham. And what he has meant to this team over the last couple of weeks. And, okay, I get it, the pass protection part, because he really has never been asked to do that.
No.
Okay, when you're in high school, you're not asked to be a pass protector. You're asked to run the football or catch it coming out of the backfield. Yep. But now it's a different world. You trust Josh that he can do that.
Yep.
Josh is really good in the pass protection part. I think Caleb has improved. Is he as good as Josh? No, but he's improved in that area because Caleb, he was like Durham. Yeah, they didn't ask me to do that.
No.
And so you got to learn how to block and to pick up the blitz at a certain time. But he brings that element of speed and ability to make people miss in space. And, okay, he caught that little flare pass.
That was nice.
You saw the Bruins. They had two guys that had an angle. Well, he outran the angle to get into the end zone.
So that's exciting, too, because we hadn't seen that in a while as well from a running back. Just some quickness, some quick twitch muscles, if you will, with his hips, and then sure speed. And what's also exciting, we all know, the first couple of games of the season, where's the run game? Well, guess what? Durham is the run game now. Now, that being said, you know, Williams is actually the leading rusher on this team with 134 yards rushing, two touchdowns, and 36 carries. And so, but when you do the 1-2 punch with those two guys, I think it'll be great. And then you sprinkle in a little Caleb Jackson, I think will be even better. But, with the emergence of Durham, only thing he can do is get better from here on out. I think his power, his stamina, and the way that he sees the field, his ability to be able to bounce the ball at outside and then get the edge and actually outrun people is pretty cool. And the one thing he hadn't done yet is fumble football. And if you don't fumble the football, hold on to it.
You go get a chance to play, because I had that conversation with John Emery before he got hurt. We at a couple of different places in the summer, and just make sure you hold on to the ball, John. Because he assured me, Mike, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. But when the season starts, I was like, just don't fumble it. You'll be watching. You won't be playing. And he gave me the grin, and he knew what I knew. Because, man, Coach Owen all was on him when he was there about it, and I'm sure Brian Kelly was the exact same way about John had talent, tremendous talent. He's been so unlucky with injuries and then everything else that happened. But I think with Caden, what you bring up is a good point that, you know, you could see he pays a lot of attention to ball security.
That's right.
Especially in heavy traffic.
Yep. You know, we'll go back to John real quickly. You know, we were talking about we don't have a run game. We hadn't had a run game the first two games of the season. But actually, John was actually the run game. He was playing phenomenal in that first game against USC before, you know, tearing his ACL or whatnot. And I think had he not been injured, I think the run game would look a little bit different. You'll have two older guys in Williams and Emery who know the game, who understands everything, and that allows, you know, Jackson and Durham to kind of watch behind those guys but still get their carries and their play. But now with Emery out, it forces one of those guys to have to step up. And then, you know, and Durham is the guy stepping up. Ball security, the way that he sees the field, his vision, his footwork and his ability to be quick at the same time as fast and also powerful allows for him to be a really great running back, in my opinion, in the future. He's really good now, but he's still got a ways to go to be great, and I think he's only going to get better game in and game out this year.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, we see, you know, when you lose a Malik Nabers and you lose a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., it's difficult to replicate the production those guys could do. So you got to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And Kyren certainly has stepped up to be the number one receiver. Aaron Anderson has done a very good job as the number two guy. Hopefully we'll get a glimpse this week of Chris Hilton as they try to bring him back. One guy's really emerged. Mason Taylor. At tight end.
Yes.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For WL. We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Come on by and visit us. Jason will take real good care of you. And they got a great crew here that works it here at Acme. Had tremendous food and drink specials. 16 TVs surrounded you as you eat so you can watch all the games. And so if you're going to the game or if you don't have a ticket and you want to watch the game, LSU, South Alabama, you can right here. And we'll have that game starting at 6:45 tonight, where it'll be Chris Blair and Jacob Hester will be giving you the call. LSU, South Alabama, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond.
Yep.
We brought this up before, Herb, in the emergence of Mason Taylor at tight end.
Yeah.
And I remember when they were recruiting him and Coach O telling me, Mike, I got one from Florida. He got some good genetics. And Jason's boy. I was like, okay. I said, can he play? Oh, yeah. He's going to be really good. He said, but, man, he's a tall drink of raw water right now. He needs to add a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle. But, man, can he catch the football? Boy, Coach O was right about him. He didn't get a chance to coach him. But Mason Taylor this year, you can see his progress as a route runner, finding a way to get open.
Yep.
And he's the security blanket for Garrett Nussmeier. You being a former quarterback,
yes,
talk a little bit about having that guy you know and trust where he's going to be out on the field.
Well, some numbers for you. Mason Taylor, 25 receptions, 237 yards, 9.5 average per reception, 33 inches long, and one touchdown. So if you think of those numbers, you're like, man, those numbers are really great until you get to touchdowns. He's only got one touchdown. Well, in that, he's got first down after first down after first down after first down, which is keeping the offense on the field, and that's important. So when we talk about tight ends, and Coach O was right, it's one tall drink of water, and when you add the length of his arms stretched up or outstretched above him, that makes him even taller. So one of the things that I really love as a quarterback, and I know Garrett is really loving this, is the fact that every last one of his tight ends are 6'6", 6'7". And then, you know, they raise their arms up, that's another 3 feet. So they're basically 9 foot, and if they drunk three more feet, they're 12 feet. So he can put the ball anywhere he wants to in the 12-foot vicinity of them, and I think they can go get it, especially Mason Taylor. One of the things I really have liked about him is his toughness that he's grown to have over the course of the last three years.
I agree.
He's gotten more tough every game and game out, and it's just evident to me when he catches the football and gets hit and he gets right back up. And I appreciate that from a tight end, because when you think of tight ends, you think of blockers, you think of guys who catch the ball in traffic, get hit, get up, really tough-nosed players. But now tight ends are not that. They're flanked out. They're asked to do what wide receivers do. And he's playing just as good a tight end ball as anybody in the country is right now. And one of the things that Brian Kelly has always hung his hat on since he's been coaching is good tight ends, and I appreciate the fact that they're starting to develop Mason Taylor here.
Also, the two other young tight ends, I think everybody wants to see it. If they become a bigger part of this offense as the season goes along with Kay Pimpton,
yep.
along with Tre'Davious
Green. Yep.
Okay, both those guys are even taller than Mason Taylor.
Yep.
Mason's 6'5" and some change, but Tre'Davious, what, 6'7.5"?
Yeah.
And Kay, you know, he's almost 6'7". So, man, yeah. you got guys. And I think it's so important, short yardage, red zone area, to have that sort of length that it doesn't. The ball doesn't have to be perfect.
No. Nope.
And they'll come up with it. And all I know is ain't no 6'6", 6'7", defensive backs or linebackers.
No.
Trying to cover them. No, so
not at all.
That's a huge mismatch downfield.
That's huge. The problem with trying to incorporate those guys into the game plan is you still got, you know, Aaron Anderson, Kyron Lacy, you got Daniels, you've got Xavion Thomas, you've got Kyle Parker. I mean, you got cats that can play all over the field. And, you know, it's going to be tough, but you have to purposefully put those guys in positions when it's time. I think where you use them at is where we've struggled, which is in the red zone.
I agree.
And so if we're not going to utilize Nussmeier as a threat to run the football, then we need to utilize those tight ends as a threat to catch the ball to at least get first downs or even touchdowns when they're 5 yards or less. So, you know, it's funny that we can see that. I'm hoping that the coaches can get some kind of development or game plan that's going to see that.
Is it a trust factor, though, with the young guys?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'd rather try to see if they can do it versus not do anything.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day.
That's why I'm asking, because sometimes people say, does Joe Sloan trust the young tight ends? Well, I know what Mason Taylor can do, okay? I think I know what Tre'Davious and Pimpton can do out on the field, but I'm not really sure.
It's what I guess, so let's talk about what we're asking them to do. We're not asking them to play quarterback. We're asking them to flank her out and, you know, run 6 yards and kind of fade to the outside, jump up and catch the football. That's it. We're not asking them to.
Because they glorified big wide receivers.
That's right. We're not asking them to do anything that's intricate about whatever. We're asking them to get a 3 yards in first down or 4 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing anything outside the box or anything that they haven't done before. So, and I think those guys are ready, especially Pimpton. I know he's ready at the end of the day. I know he's ready.
Oh, yeah.
To go. So, I'm just excited to see if they can incorporate him to the game. Now, you know, we're talking about some young guys that has the ability to become what Mason Taylor has become and is becoming. And the way that we got Mason Taylor there is by feeding him the football. And the only way we're going to get those other guys for us to gain trust in them, if the coaches don't have trust, is by getting them involved in the game plan and trying to get the ball to them and see what they can do. Now, I don't know what's happening at practice, but I can only assume that they're doing well at practice because they're still, you know, they get on the field, they just don't get any balls thrown to them.
And I think that's part of it, too. I think for some coaches, if they see some – but we all been around guys that maybe aren't the greatest practice
yeah,
players.
Yeah, how does the practice
but
translate to the
But we put them in
game.
A game, they light up. And we've seen vice versa.
Yeah.
Or verse visa.
Yeah.
In essence, a guy that doesn't practice, he can't do squat in a game.
That's right.
and I can't explain why for either case.
Well, here's the thing. There's a reason why they've been offered a scholarship to play football at LSU.
Yeah.
And it's because they was able to show it in the lights. Now, how does high school lights translate to or transition to college lights? I don't know.
It's different.
But I can tell you sometimes some people have and some people don't when it comes just to being able to perform under the lights. But I think these guys can do it. I don't see where these particular guys can't do it. Now, you know, I've seen guys that look the part. Man, they walk off the bus and boy, it's like it's about to go down, and it just don't. It's just, you know what I'm saying? They might as well get back on the bus. But I've also seen guys who don't look like anything, and they go out there and tear it up.
Yeah, and it's difficult to explain to people because I know Bob always says, Mike, you know, as when I was in the pros, if I could do it in practice, I had confidence I could do it in the game. But he said, Mike, I know what you mean. They got guys that could do it in practice. You put them in a game, it's almost like they're in the headlights. Like they freeze.
It's weird because it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
There's nothing different. Only thing different is the level that you're playing on. And there's a reason why you're on that level in the first place. Because you can do it. You know, it's different. I don't know. I've never approached a game, a football game anyway, where I felt like I couldn't perform. Like, there's no league, no level, no anything that I feel like I could not have performed in as a quarterback, as a top, on a top level, top tier level as well. Because it's the same. It's just, and I think what I did was I took the time to learn the game when it was time to learn the game, right? When I'm talking classrooms, practice, outside of being in the facility and just watching games and listening and taking in information and trying to understand things, put myself in a position when I'm watching just a Monday night football game or a Sunday football game or whatever game, and just paying attention to what's going on and visually putting myself in it. But it's just football. It's out routes, it's comebacks, it's digs, it's posts, it's all that. The biggest difference is the speed of the game and when in the power of the guys that you're playing against, the strength. That's it.
When we come back, we'll have our Tiger Scout Notebook brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. We'll have on with us from ESPN in Alabama, Drew DeArmond, to break down the South Alabama football team, and also Major Applewhite returning to Baton Rouge.
That's
we'll
right.
be back with that a lot more here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials. Jason and the crew take real good care of you here. And again, they got 16 surround sound TVs all around you. As you eat, you can dine and watch the games. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line for our Thibodaux Regional Health System Tiger Scout Notebook from ESPN in Alabama. We have on with us Drew DeArmond, who covers University of Alabama, Auburn, and South Alabama. Drew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's great to be with you, Mike and Herb. It's going to be a big opportunity for Major Applewhite, Rob Ezell, and Will Windham, that coaching staff, in their first year in South Alabama, man. I mean, they're taking over for Kane Womack, who's now calling the defensive signals for the University of Alabama. But they've got a potent offense led by a kid that I watched grow up in my 10 miles down the road from me, and Dio Lopez from James Women's High School. He's a left-handed version of Jeremiah Mazzoli, and he's a dangerous hombre.
Nice.
A little bit more about, you know, because Strutted turns to drink with them with two young guys in Geo and also in Fluff at running back. Those two guys are sort of they've been the Strutted turn to drink for them on the offensive side of the football. Anytime you roll up, 87 points against Northwestern and 48 points against Appalachian State in their backyard, man, you're doing a lot of good things right for some young players.
No doubt. And Fluff, he doesn't run like somebody named Fluff. I can tell you that.
No.
Like Bonville, he's another North Alabama kid from Aniana. He's a Redskin. He had a great career there. He's a load. He's 220 pounds on about a 5'11 frame, and he's already scored 6 touchdowns. He's averaging 9.7 a pop, you know, nearly 400 yards rushing already. And so he's very dangerous. And when you think about Gio Lopez, who's the third leading rusher on the team, and that's with missing a start against Ohio U, why they lost that second game in the 2-2 right now. But I got to tell you, they've got some weapons on this team. But that dual-headed rushing attack at QB and with Bothwell, and don't forget, they've got two other backs. Kentrell Bullock is also averaging about 7 yards a pop, 3 touchdowns for him. He's another kid from the state of Mississippi that's a little dangerous. And I was told this morning by a great source that their Braylon McReynolds was actually the guy that was supposed to be the load guy. He was supposed to be their RB1. He's been out with an injury, but he's probably going to be cleared to play tonight. He's a Mobile kid, so Braylon McReynolds will get some touches. And so when you got Fluff and you got Bullock and then Gio, they've got quite a ground attack with a lot of options there for the Jags.
True, secondary-wise, how does it look? Because the one thing that has stayed the same, despite, you know, what Jaden Daniels has did for 2 years, especially last year, and his ability to throw the football, and, man, he was unique as a runner. There ain't too many people that can run like him.
No.
But their ability to throw the football, and Garrett has stepped in, and it looks different. But, man, LSU got some playmakers in the passing game and the pitch and catch part. How do you think they'll match up against LSU? Because, man, LSU got a variety of guys from the tight end, the wide receivers, running backs coming out the backfield. How well they've matched up in the past over the past couple games, and how do you think that'll translate up against playing LSU?
Well, I think the guy to watch in the secondary, Mike, and you'll probably have him in your draft guide, is Jaden Boyson. Yep. He was a preseason first-team All-Sun Belt guy. He and his brother, is also one of their top 2 to 3 wide receivers. He's a really good player. But Jaden is a guy from Crestview, Florida, that has really played well for the Jags. He's one to watch tonight as kind of a ball hawk. But the one that's the transfer from Hutch JUCO in Kansas has been really dangerous. He set a school record with a 96-yard pick six against Appalachian is Jordan Scruggs, number 8. He'll play the Husky spot. And what they do defensively under Will Windham, they kept the exact same 4-2-5 system that you'll see Kane Womack using against Georgia tonight and what he used in his last few years at South Alabama. The system did not change at all. But Scruggs and Jaden Boyson, and probably the freshman Amarion Fortenberry back there at the field corner spot, are the guys to watch. From the linebacker core, Blaine Myrick, who's a redshirt sophomore. He's from Fairhope. He's another local guy for South. He's their leading tackler, a real active guy. He's done a nice job. And then another guy to watch up front. If they're going to stay with LSU, they're going to have to slow down this LSU running attack. It's really been improving. You've got to watch Latavius Thomas. He's a 3-year starter at nose tackle, probably a 4 to 5, 6, 7 ground guy, a third day guy, but he's talented enough as a 3-year starter to play well against LSU.
Drew, man, I know it's exciting for South Alabama to come into LSU, but the caveat and the cherry on top is Major Applewhite coming back as a head coach. Can you talk a little bit of what that looks like? All week and what Major's saying, and you know what's that going to be like for Major when he comes into LSU?
Major's lying. He says just like a regular game. He's lying.
Yeah, I know he's lying. I know he's lying.
It's so funny, and you guys know the story. He grew up with Alabama fans, and he was named after Major Ogilvy, even though he grew up in Baton Rouge. But he speaks very fondly of sneaking over to Tiger Stadium and throwing 7-on-7 and throwing around with a lot of the LSU Tigers that he grew up around in the early 90s in that time frame for LSU. And he really enjoyed Tiger Stadium. He snuck in a lot as a kid and got in and watched a lot of games over there. And you guys know, I mean, he had a very high-profile quarterback battle with Chris Sims and was really the better college player. He didn't have the physical talent of Chris, but he was so smart from the neck up. He was so intelligent. It's no surprise that he went into coaching. But yeah, he can speak very, very highly of LSU and the memories of growing up in Baton Rouge. And, you know, I think he's really excited to come. And like you said, he'd love to leave 3-2, you know, because it would be the biggest win of his coaching career. It didn't go his way in Houston. He couldn't get it rolling. But this opportunity kind of came out of nowhere at South Alabama. I think it's a good fit for him. They've got great facilities down there. You know the relationship South has with the Senior Bowl. And so he's going to be able to get players because they know they're going to get noticed down there. And in Mobile and in that part of the panhandle of Florida, there's a lot of really good football players. And with NIL, with Gio Lopez and Fluff, they may end up moving up. They may not be at South Alabama next year.
That's right.
He's going to get it. is going to help him recruit and going to help him get players, because he and Rob Ezell have done a great job of developing Gio, and Fluff has just been, you know, unbelievable for Maniana as a freshman running back thus far.
Explain a little bit about long-term for South Alabama. Is this a team that what Major has talked about trying to build through the high school ranks, or will the transfer portal be a big part of his football team there? Because I see it that you want to get high school kids, but I think for him, he may lean a little bit more toward the transfer portal guys.
Well, I mean, with his connections at Alabama and throughout the Southeastern Conference, you know yourself, Mike, there's a lot of guys moving down because they want to play.
You know,
because, I mean, they're getting NIL money, but they're not developing. So I think it'll be a nice mix. He's got enough great high school talent down there in Mobile to sign probably 15 good players a year. And then I think he would supplement it with, I would say, 8, 9, 10 guys from the portal. And don't forget, Jordan Strug, yeah, they were able to get him from the junior college ranks. So you also kind of find a JUCO or two, because junior college players are becoming devalued too because of the portal. So if you have those kind of connections, you can find talent, no doubt. But, yeah, I think it'll be a nice mix. I think each year you could see him going from a dozen to 15 high school players, and then 8, 9, 10 portal guys if he can find the right pieces there. And he's got great facilities. You know, they've done a great job building up their program there. And I think he's going to be given the tools in the Sun Belt Conference to compete. And certainly I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. They lost that North Texas shootout early.
Yep.
Gio had a great game. But then, again, the injuries kind of caught up to him for week two, but they stabilized themselves. And that was a huge exclamation point in the Sun Belt Conference to go to Appalachian and not just beat them, but destroy them.
Yeah.
True. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your insights, Bud.
And, yes, sir.
The way these teams score, maybe the over's the play tonight.
Probably so. I want to give you one more name to watch, Mike. He's a redshirt freshman defensive end. The one issue for South has been their pass rush, but they started to improve in the Appalachian game. He's a redshirt freshman from a great program. You know the Hoover High School program very well in Alabama, that's been nationally known. His name is Jordan Norman, number 21. So watch for him from that DN spot. LSU's got great offensive tackle play, but they better handle Norman tonight, not let him get after Garrett, give him time to throw. But I agree with you. I would take the over in this game, no question about it. I think unlike the Kentucky Ole Miss game, I had that one pegged, just not the winner. I thought that might be a little bit lower scoring. Tonight, I think it's going to be a little bit of a track meet with my guy Gio.
Man, all I can say is they don't get a pass rush on Nussmeier, it might be a long night for that defense because the one thing with Garrett, he has been really good all game, every game he's started this year for LSU, and just his accuracy skills, Drew, and I think you'll see it. He's a pinpoint passer. He knows where to go with the football. They haven't hit the big play deep downfield other than last week with Kyle Parker, but I think that's fixing to change pretty soon. So South Alabama doesn't get a pass rush. Man, they'll put up a lot of yardage against them. Drew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Herb. Thank you, Mike. Y'all enjoy the game,
Thank you.
I always appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Totally focus on patient care. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTay, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.